This is John Bozeman, and tonight we're having a teletown hall, and I'm in Washington, and we're going to be visiting about the various issues that are in play right now, and I'll be visiting a little bit about what's going on up here, and then more importantly, we'll be answering any questions and just have a good participation tonight. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, just punch zero, and that will get you in line. We're going to do our best to get to as many people as we can with questions and comments and things like that. Right now, a couple things that we're working on are the Farm Bill. That's something that's so important to the state of Arkansas, so that our farmers will have the stability that they need, knowing what the rules are for the next 5 years. We're blessed. We've got the cheapest, safest food supply in the country, and we want to maintain that. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just punch zero, and that'll get you in line. Another thing that has come up, hearing lots of talk about the Keystone Pipeline, that's something that we'd like to get done. Last week was the five-year anniversary of the approval, and it's hard to believe that it's taking that long to work through this. Certainly Syria has been a big topic. Should we bomb or not bomb or whatever? And I felt like, and I think most of the people in Arkansas, or the vast majority, didn't feel like we should get involved. And so far that's been the case. The other things that came up today is I was down on the floor of the Senate really talking about a couple of our soldiers that we very tragically lost in Afghanistan in August, and paying tribute to them. And again, just taking a few minutes to step aside and acknowledge them, acknowledge their families, and ask for prayers as they've been dealing with this for the last several weeks during a very, very tough time. Okay, let's go to our first questioner. Now, again, if you'd like to ask a question, just punch zero, and that will get you in line to ask questions, and we'll be glad to hear any questions or comments that's going on. Okay. Here we go. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes,
why is America going down the toilet? Why should we always have to be involved in other countries? Nobody gives a damn about the USA except for what they can give them. Our lovely young men, smart men and women, are maimed, killed, everything. I'll come back home, get rehabilitated, and ask to go back to work. I mean, can't they get a decent pension? The World Bank looks after America, correct? You're in politics, you ought to know. Or is that only for the chosen few? Americans are sick and tired of beating their heads against the wall, and they're the ones that have to go without.
Thank you for calling. Let me respond to what you're talking about. I know very well about the sacrifice of the American servicemen. My grandfathers, both of them served in World War I. One of them was gassed at the end of the war and died as a result a few years later. My father served in World War II, as did my uncles. My dad did 20 years in the Air Force, so I know all about that. And we're working very, very hard.
Nothing?
We're working very, very hard to make sure that our service men and women in the field, and then also our veterans, get the care that they deserve.
They need, yes. But the thing is, you don't have to work very, very hard. You know the World Bank. It's called the World Bank. It produces all the money and bombs and all the stuff that what they want to serve their purpose in using us. What be well educated for what?
Well,
explain that to me. For what? Supposed to be a smart, intelligent man.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, and I will explain it. Again, we had this situation with Syria recently. The president chose to take that before Congress. I think that was the correct thing to do. The situation in Syria is really a difficult situation in the sense that that country is careening into chaos. As a result of that, Jordan is becoming affected. There's 500,000 refugees in Jordan now. They're projected to have 1 million refugees in the near future, which is destabilizing that country. Turkey is feeling the same things, and yet the American people and Congress really didn't feel like we should intervene in Syria because of the fact there really wasn't a good choice. If you destabilize the regime, then it might very well wind up like Libya. Weapons of mass destruction, the gas and things like that, would wind up perhaps in the hands of terrorists because of all the chaos that would be left. If you didn't do much, if you just kind of slapped them on the wrist, then I think you run the risk of these people, like this tyrant over there, feeling like they could do horrendous things without much punishment. So when you don't have a clear choice, I think the best choice is to not do anything. So we are working very, very hard to take care of our veterans. I was at the visit with the head of the VA in Little Rock this last week, and also the head of UAMS, and we were talking about how we could collaborate, you know, how we could make sure that we were doing all we could to work together, seeing what we could do to make sure that our VA hospital in Little Rock, our VA hospital in Fayetteville, which we can be very, very proud of, are doing a tremendous job. Again, taking care of those that have served us. Now, let's go to the next caller, and here we go. Are you there?
You there?
I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Bozeman, is Barack Obama a Christian?
I don't know what he is.
You don't know what he is?
No, I think that's something that people have to work out for themselves. I'm a Christian. I can speak for myself, but I can't speak for the president.
Well, I'm not asking you to speak for him. I'm asking if you examine his fruits, is he a Christian by the fruits of his life?
Again, like I say, I'm not going to get into who's a Christian, who's not. I think Scripture's pretty clear that we're supposed to judge ourselves and really not be judging other folks.
Yes, sir, it does say we shouldn't judge them unto condemnation, but it also says you'll know a tree by its fruits. And that's all I'm asking you is, by the fruits of his life, which you are more privy to than the rest of us, would you say that the fruits of his life indicate he's a Christian man?
Well, I'm more worried about my own fruits. So again, that's a very subjective question. It's one that I don't feel like I can answer. I work with the president. I've been around him at times, but as far as really knowing the president, and knowing his everyday life and things, you're as much privy to that as I am. I see that on the television.
Okay, sir. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. Again, we're having a teletown hall and really just discussing whatever you'd like to talk about, things that are going on in Washington. This is an interesting time. Lots of budget discussions going on up here. But would be glad to, the purpose of this is not for me to lecture to you. The purpose for this is for us to have a discussion and really find out what's on your mind. So let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Bob. And I have a question I've been trying to get an answer to for a long time.
Well, I hope we can find one for you then.
Well, I first heard about Obamacare, and but people were against it passing. And I got looking around. My ex-sister-in-law told me why. It seems that Obamacare has got a paragraph in it that states that when it goes into effect, he's already said he wasn't going to raise taxes. It puts 9.1% sales tax on sales of your property after about 24. this is fact. I don't know.
Well,
I've asked.
No, that's not correct. What it does do, there's a number of taxes, though, associated with Obamacare, about $1 trillion worth, all total. One of the things that it does do, if you make a certain amount of profit, and I think it's $250,000 or so, in excess of that, there's a tax on that. I want to say it's either 2.7% or 3.7%. So there is a tax, an additional tax on real estate and profit, associated with that. But as far as 9% on everybody and things like that, the answer to that is that's not right. Although there's plenty not to like about Obamacare, with 20,000 pages of regulation, they estimate we're going to have about 800,000 job loss as a result of the uncertainty and just the cost of it. And then, two, we're rapidly becoming a nation of part-time employees because everybody's hiring part-time work to try and beat not having to pay for Obamacare. But I think to answer your question, I wouldn't be worried about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Let's go to our next caller. Again, good questions, good comments. If you'd like to ask a question, punch zero, and that will get you on the line. Is our caller there now?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, how are you going to vote on this on this Medicare? Are you going to vote to do away with Medicare?
No, I would not vote to do away with Medicare, Bob. In fact, Medicare, Social Security, we need to protect it and we need to preserve it. You know, I'm an eye doctor by training. Was originally an optometrist. My brother was an ophthalmologist, an eye surgeon, and we had a clinic together. And I understand how important the Medicare program is. And if anything, like I say, we need to strengthen it and preserve it. Our seniors now will have it. If we don't strengthen it and preserve it, though, because of the high cost of health care, it won't be available, down in the future for younger people. But no, I certainly don't want to get rid of Medicare.
Are you going to vote to leave it like it is or a change in it?
Well, I think for people like yourself, it needs to be left alone, okay? For younger people, if we don't do something, because people are living much longer than they used to be, and I don't know how old you are, Bob, but I'm, 62.
I'm 74.
Okay, well, I'm 62. You and I are baby boomers. And so
yeah.
With the advent of all of the baby boomers, into the system, it's going to be so top-heavy with older people, the younger people, won't have the benefit. And so we need to do a number of different things. We can look at age. We can look at all kinds of things. But that's going to take everybody working together, Democrats, Republicans, the president, the House and the Senate, really to figure out how to protect Medicare and make it stronger. But as far as your benefit, don't you worry about it. It'll be there for you.
Well, I think this Obamacare, personally, I think it's good. Just leave it.
Well, the problem with Obamacare, Bob, the problem with Obamacare, Bob, it takes about $500 billion from the Medicare system. It takes it by not paying the doctors and hospitals as much, and then it starts up the new Obamacare by taking a bunch of money from Medicare. Right now, it's difficult in some places in Arkansas to find a Medicare doctor because the payment is so low to begin with. And so I don't think that's good for Medicare at all, and it really is a transfer of Medicare money to the Obamacare program. So, there's lots of things wrong with Obamacare. It's making health care more unaffordable. But one of the major things that's wrong with it truly is will divert in the future a significant amount of money from Medicare. So,
yeah, that could be debated from now on and never come to a
sure
conclusion, I think.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
But you're very welcome. I think the important thing is that, again, we certainly need to protect Medicare. We need to protect Social Security as we go forward. Thanks very much for calling. Let's go to our next caller.
Yeah, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Pretty good. I was wanting to know, does anybody in the Senate, do they have a memory of history? I mean, what I'm talking about is we had a senator from here named Blanche Lincoln that could have killed Obamacare in a committee with a no vote. It cost her political career. And Mark Pryor somebody needs to tell him, Mark, if you want to keep your job, you better go talk to Blanche.
Well, that's the purpose of these calls, and that's why, I'm home every weekend is visiting with people just like you, trying to, to listen to what's on your mind and things like that. So, I can't speak for Mark. I do know that as a House member, when I represented the 3rd District and down the state, I've worked really very, very hard to get rid of Obamacare, voted against it when it came. The reason being is, and again, I understand healthcare because of my medical background, being an optometrist. The thing that was wrong with healthcare when all of this started was it wasn't affordable. And what we've done is we've put a system in place, and you can see it coming, raising taxes $1 trillion, much of it hidden taxes, and it's made healthcare more unaffordable than ever. And so, as a result, we're going to have rationing, we're going to have consolidation and things like that. That's the only way that you can control cost. But, I agree with you. Like I say, I'm very much opposed to it and going to do all I can to get rid of it.
Well, there's, senators are coming up for election here in about a year. And somebody needs to go back and reread their recent history. That us people are not going to put up with Obamacare. We're not going to put up with, I feel that, I have always taken care of my family and provided health care for them.
Right.
That's called responsibility for yourself and for your family.
Right.
And it's time everybody takes responsibility for themselves and their family. If they don't, if they're not willing to do that, then they can't be helped. It comes a time to say, hey, people, you either do it or you do without it.
Right. No, I agree. The problem is, as far as getting rid of it, and the House has voted to get rid of it, I think 40 times. I voted several times to get rid of it in the Senate.
Yeah.
Right now, conservatives control the House. And
I know.
The numbers just aren't there, that's the problem.
But I know they're trying to do it with a 51 vote.
Well, what's going to happen with that deal is that the bill has been introduced in the Senate. You'll need cloture. In other words, you have to have 60 votes to go forward. Now, this is 60 votes going forward with the House bill. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to vote against the bill that you want. Eventually, though, under Senate rules, and everybody knew this going in the first place, majority rules in the Senate and 51 votes, and they'll have the 51 votes to go ahead and strip out the Obamacare provision, send it back to the House. Now, I'm very much, I'll do everything I can to get rid of Obamacare. As far as shutting down the government, though, I don't think that's a wise idea at all because...
Well, if I had a business run like the government, I'd want to shut it down.
Well, you would, except,
shut itself down.
No, I understand totally. The problem, though, is if you shut down the government, then, the people that work in plants where there's inspectors and things like that, the military's not going to get paid. the market's going to drop, you know, significantly. You're holding the American people hostage, and it's not their fault that this is going on at all. You know, it's for us to get it worked out. But again,
well,
shutting down the government
is
not
the
right. It is
our fault because we elected people that wants Obamacare.
Well,
that is our fault, and it's time we took our medicine.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that is the reality. So
yeah.
I appreciate you calling. Where are you at? What city?
I'm in Heber Springs.
Very good. Well, thank you for calling. I do appreciate the input. And the other thing, too, is I understand your frustration. I think you did a very good job of summing it up, and I know it is frustrating, you know. You know, I really am trying to work through this and trying to, you know, remember your comments, the comments of our, you know, of our callers, inners, and the people that grab me by the throat all the time at home,
yeah.
You know, in trying to get these things done and get us back on track.
Yeah. Well, just take them to lunch and say, hey, you guys on the left, you better talk to Blanche Leakin because
right.
The people are going to make you look for a job, and it's hard to find one out there.
Right. Thank you,
okay.
Sir. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, fine.
If you'd like to ask a question, punch zero. We're working through. We're going to do our best to get as many callers in, as many comments, questions, lots of good questions, lots of variety of comments and things. Let's go to our next caller.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling from Southeast Arkansas, and I am a registered voter, and I'm also employed. But right now, because of the job that I have, it's a part-time job with no no way for me to move up. There's been no indication that that's going to be a higher minimum wage. So my question is, if you are so adamantly against Obamacare, what do you have to provide for people like me who can only afford to go to like a clinic that's in the community, that's a non-profit organization, things of that nature? And I also am a college graduate, but unfortunately there are jobs that are just not there. So I had to take what I could get so I could provide for myself. But at the end of the month, after I paid all of my bills and, had put gas into my car to drive back and forth to work, I don't have any money left, so I can't afford to purchase any health care. So I just wanted to know if this does happen and Obamacare is defunded, what do you have in place to help people like me who can't afford on our own, even though we are tax-paying citizens and what have you? What do you have for us?
No, I appreciate that. And there's so many people just like you out there that are really struggling right now in this very, very difficult economy. I can tell you, you know, if you go around, and this isn't John Bozeman saying this, if you go around, you know, and you talk to different employers in the community, big employers, small employers, one of the major reasons that people aren't hiring people, the reason that people aren't promoting people is because of the high cost of health care that Obamacare is going to force on the employers. So it really is affecting jobs. Many industries now, big and small, are going to part-time work to beat the system. So it's affecting you right now, and it's one of the reasons that we have the high unemployment rate that we do. Now, I think what you're going to find is that when you, right now, you're still not going to get free insurance. You're going to have to get into the exchanges.
I've looked it up online.
You're going to get into the exchanges, and I think you're going to find that the exchanges are going to be very expensive.
From what I think, it hasn't been, but okay.
Well, I think they came out with the numbers today, and you need to, you know, get online or do whatever, and you can find out. I do think that we could not spend $1 trillion, that we need to provide affordable insurance. You know, that's the key, is making it such like, people like yourself, you know, can go into the pool, whether it's through your employer, and your employer might be a small employer like my barber that's got, you know, 3 or 4 employees. What they need to do is be able to go in with 1,000 other barbers with 3 or 4 employees, get a better deal. We need to be able to shop across state lines for insurance, you know, rather than all of the insurance companies having to be right there in Arkansas. We need to get rid of the nuisance lawsuits that are going on. Those are the kind of things that are out there that would be beneficial,
so
that would lower cost.
Are you going to be sponsoring legislation for things of that nature?
Yes, ma'am. No, there's definitely legislation out there, and again, we're working hard to try and offer those alternatives. Right now, we simply don't have the votes to do that. We're the Obamacare system is in place, but it really is driving up cost. I think our school teachers are going to get about a 50% increase. Many of them don't make a whole lot of money, and lots of single moms with kids. So it's really everybody in society right now. But I understand what you're saying. I think affordability is a huge thing. I really feel like you're going to be, have a little bit of sticker shock when you really see how much the exchange cost.
I'm not convinced either way. I'm just kind of middle of the road right now as far as, what to do. I just wanted to know what a person like me could do, what options are available, and if you as my senator would be willing to sponsor some legislation to try to help people that are in my position.
Yeah, very much so. And again, like I say, the people like yourself, they're working hard, that are doing the right thing and this and that. It's just difficult because there's some subsidies, but still, healthcare is very expensive. So, thank you very much for calling, and I really do appreciate your comments.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. The last caller really made some good points. It is difficult. Healthcare is important, and what it is, it hasn't been affordable. Again, I feel like the problem with the Affordable Health Care Act is it's made it that much more affordable. Plus, we're going to pay significant more taxes as a result of it. And it really is a job killer in the sense that if you ask, again, this isn't John Bozeman talking, but talk to your employer, or those of you that are employers, this is the leading cause of not hiring people, the leading cause of reluctance to hire people, because they simply don't want to fool with the increased health cost when they get more people on board. Let's go to our next caller. Are you there? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Brenda in Piggott, Arkansas.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was just wondering if it could be defundable like the House is wanting to do. Is it possible when in the Senate, is controlled by the Democrats? So can it be done anyway?
No, I think that's a really good question. In fact, that is the key question, and the answer is no, because the House, has the people in there that would like to defund it. They have a majority. They were able to get that vote passed. The Senate has a majority of run by Senator Reid. They're not in favor of, defunding Obamacare. So you reach a stalemate. House is for it. Senate's against it. It's going to go back to the House, and then the House is going to have to decide what to do. The problem is if you have a stalemate that's not resolved, then the government shuts down. And that really will be a real hindrance to the economy. I'm concerned about what it'll do to the markets. People that have savings that are in the stock market and things like that, pension plans which have their savings.
Yeah, I don't want the government to be shut down.
I agree totally. I don't want it to be shut down
Obamacare.
Either. No, I'm
nobody
pretty much,
likes it that I talked to here in Piggott.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. I want to get rid of it. But on the other hand, I don't want to shut down the government because many people, many people that are working at plants and stuff that'll have to go home. You won't be able to get lots of little things. You won't be able to get a visa, a passport. The military won't be paid on time. I think Social Security checks will go out, but they'll probably be late. And there's no reason to hold the American people hostage, because we all know that the government eventually has to be funded. And I don't think the president is going to give up his signature piece of legislation. And Senator Reid has just made it very, very clear that he's simply not going to do that. So, but
that is to be more Republicans elected in the Senate.
Well, I appreciate you asking the question, that you did, because that really is kind of the central of all of this. Can it mm-hmm. be done? And the answer is not unless Senator Reid falls and President Obama falls. And, I simply just don't think that's going to happen. How are things in Pickett?
Thank you. They're pretty good.
Good.
We're getting some new buildings here in town, so hopefully we'll get more places to work at here.
Well, the name of the game is jobs and the economy, that's for sure. Hopefully I'll get down
true.
To see you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling. If you'd like to get in line to ask a question, punch zero. We're trying to get through as many as we can. We've really had a lot of good questions, a lot of good comments tonight. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Senator Bob Bozeman, thanks for the chance to talk to
John.
You this evening. But I just have two things. One, for the caller that's by name of Bob saying that he's 64, that he thinks Obamacare is good, I'm going to give him my personal experience of Obamacare. First of all, I have several people who wanted to change their doctors who are senior citizens. I call somebody I knew from high school who became a physician and a very excellent physician. I called him. His nurse said, he'll call you after the last patient. He did not call. Did not call the next day. The following day, he had the nurse call saying he does not take Medicare patients anymore. Second thing, I have a doctor that I've seen for 31 years. He saw the health care coming. He retired. I sought his replacement, and let me tell you what happened on that. Sought him on February 6th this year in the morning for a checkup. He told me to come back the next morning on the 7th for a blood test. Went there for a blood test. The nurses said he packed up on the 6th in the evening and quit.
That right? So you scared him off.
Because I'm on Medicare also. I'm 74.
No, I
and
understand.
That guy, Bob, will know that Obamacare is not good.
Right.
He will see it. There are people that I know, when they went to see their doctor who, and they turned 65, two things happen. One, they get 5 minutes talking to, or they get their whole list of the health care tests and hand it to them, say, we don't take Medicare patients anymore. You have to find someone else.
Right.
Now, the second statement I have for you is this.
Let me just respond to that, because I think you make a good point. And, while we're talking about this, again, I'm an optometrist. My brother was an ophthalmologist. We practiced together.
I know.
Things, but, so I get a lot of calls when I'm home, and I'm home almost every week, from people that are calling me not as their senator or whatever, just as friends, because they know that I'm part of the healthcare system. And they're having the same problem. They're having trouble finding a doctor for a loved one. And so it is difficult. And, the other point that you made about your doctor retiring because of the hassle, of all of this stuff, and that's
right.
True. And I guess what I would do, it's important that it's not John Bozeman saying these things. It's not you. What I would really encourage our listeners to do is talk to their doctor, the guy that they trust to take care of them, and say, Dr. So-and-so, what's the deal? Is this
mm-hmm.
a problem? And I think they'll find that it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to go back to, not having it such that with pre-existing conditions and you lose your job and you lose your insurance. There's a lot of good stuff,
right.
that we can do. you know. But we don't have to spend $1 trillion doing it, and we don't need 20,000 pages of regulation, you know.
You're correct on that, Senator Bozeman. You're really correct, because I know at one time we had 35 states that could take anybody in that has no insurance. It was a combined thing that were taken care of by President Bush. He did that, pre-existing conditions and all this. I have gone through all these experiences. I have kids with pre-existing conditions,
right,
and they're covered. You know, all these things. But my second thing is this. I was not born here. I became a U.S. citizen after I came here for college. I found my study of the Constitution was what caused this nation great. When I landed in San Francisco, I said to myself, wow, in this airport, look at that. 40 public telephones here. I walked to another terminal section, another 40 telephones. People don't have to wait. Choices are many. I said, this is a great country. Then I met my friends in college. I said, look at the advantages they have. They know how to run a combine. They know how to fix their cars. I had no idea of this. So I got married. I became a U.S. citizen. And I've got to tell you, Senator, what we have right now is a slow death for this country. As far as I can see, do we want a slow death or a fast death and rebuild? I do not want to shut the government down. But as I said, either slow death or quick death. I look at my grandkids. I've got grandchildren from 26 to 4 years old. The younger ones won't find a job. They're not going to have the advantages that I had. So I just want all your listening to think about whether to shut part of the government down by stopping the Obamacare, but keep the military going and things like this would be good or not. But just think about it. What is going to happen in the future is very, very somber.
No, I appreciate you, telling us that. In fact, it's so great. You're a tremendous example of what America's all about. You know, you're the American dream. Coming here,
yes,
working hard, and with tremendous opportunity that, and again.
In fact, I had the FBI check my background. They talked to my college professors, my medical professors, talked to my neighbors, talked to my mother-in-law, talked to everybody before they allowed me to go and take my test, do the study of the Constitution. I read the book. In fact, I recited the preamble to the judge before
right.
I got sworn in as a U.S. citizen. And
well,
I promise I would never be a burden on this nation, and I'm not.
No, that's
and I'm afraid we've got a lot of burdens on this nation now.
Well, we appreciate your comments. For our listeners that have not attended a naturalization ceremony and seeing people like yourself, become citizens, it's really a very, very moving experience, and it truly is what our country is all about. So,
and I'll be voting for you, Senator.
Well,
and
thank you.
You keep
thank
on
you
talking
for
about
your comments.
It, and I think we could turn this country around.
Well,
thank you
very much. Thank you very much for
thank
calling.
You.
And again,
you're welcome, sir.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next caller in a second. Again, great comments. From an interesting perspective, and again, this is what America is all about. You know, the ability to, to have opportunity, take advantage of it, and become such a great contributor to our country. Okay, let's go to our next caller. And are you on the line?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yes, this is Deborah, and I'm in Mountain View. And there's been a lot of great people on here. The last gentleman, first I want to thank you and commend you for becoming a legal U.S. citizen.
No, that's right.
Next to my question now.
he
Obamacare.
Did it
yes, he did. Obamacare. First of all, the name says it all. Obama thinks he's king and that he can do anything he wants. He can do anything he wants to us. Obamacare is not about health care. It's about taxes. It's about bringing everybody under the same, I started to say care, but you're not even going to get care. It's back to this spreading wealth, but it's not actually wealth that you're getting. Everybody's getting the same thing, which is nothing. One of the gentlemen that was talking about, again, the legal citizen, talking about his doctors quitting him. I have a couple of different friends who are in their late 60s, early 70s, and one has cancer, and they operated on her, found out she had the cancer, brain cancer. They were going to give her the treatment that you go in and you pull the DNA and make the serum, and it targets that cancer. They found out she was 74 years old. She was too old, so you don't give it to her. Legal euthanasia. I have a friend who has had breast cancer. She has rheumatoid arthritis. She's gone to the same doctors for 12 years, big high-powered doctors in Memphis. Both of them have told her as of January 1st, they will not take Medicare patients. Obamacare is not about health, keeping us healthy. It's not about taking care of the citizens. In fact, what's happened is we've paid all this money in. They've spent it other places. They can't pay us off, so they're going to kill us off.
Well, I think
now my question.
Go ahead.
Now my question is: this bill supposedly is a legal law that was voted on by our Congress, men and women who were voted in to speak for us and take care of us. Unfortunately, the scale was balanced in the wrong direction whenever it was passed. But now that it's a law, I don't understand why Obama, which is called Obamacare, so I guess that's why he feels like that he has all of the rights to it and to administer it and to use it the way he wants to. But why is it that the Congress passes a law and then the president thinks that it is within his authority, which it's not by the Constitution, to change that law by giving his friends or the people that he wants to do something for him or the squeaky wheels that he doesn't want to listen to because maybe he's promised them something under the table, telling these large companies, certain unions, certain people that they don't have to abide by Obamacare. And then you hear on the news in the last few days, well, now the Congress is going to try to pass a bill to reverse what he has done, allowing people to not be covered by Obamacare. How does all of that work, and why is that legal that he even did what he did, and then why do we have to undo it again?
Well, I don't think... No. I appreciate your frustration with all this. I think, your comments about doctors not taking, Medicare patients, that's a theme that we've heard tonight. And again, that's simply the truth. The other thing is that doctors are unhappy about this. And I think it is important, rather than our listeners just to listen to me and you. They should talk to their doctors about this, and I think they'll hear that concern. The other thing I just want to touch on real quick is that it's not only doctors. I have a real concern. You know, you're in a beautiful part of the country. It's a very rural area. It's a very beautiful area. But I have real concern for our community hospitals, because when you look at the models, when you look at the UK, you know, Britain, the model there, when you look at Canada, these are the models that they're using. They simply don't have a lot of hospitals. It's kind of like the VA. We've got several hundred thousand veterans in Arkansas, but we only have two VA hospitals. So, you know, if you live in Mountain View, you have to go to Little Rock or you have to go to Fayetteville. You got to travel. And so my real concern, along with, you know, doctors getting tired and quitting, but also I've got a real concern for our community hospitals. The problem there is if you lose your community hospital, those are the best jobs in town. You lose your doctors. You know, that's one of the first things that businesses, retirees look at, quality of life issues. Do you have those things, you know? So you have to be careful. Pretty soon you lose your community. So this whole thing really is really very, very important. In regard to the legality of the present, for instance, he waived the business portion of this, you know, for a year, kept the individual mandate, but he took away the business part for a year. I'm with you. I don't think he had the authority to do that. The law is very clear with these things, but he did it anyway. Now, somebody can sue him, you know, and they will find that he did violate the law, and, you know, that probably would be reversed. I'm glad he delayed it. You know, I want to get rid of it, but I want to, you know, delay it, defund it, repeal it, you know, whatever we can do to stop its progress. But as far as the waivers, you're right. You know, there was lots of picking and choosing early on. All of those things eventually, though, are going to come back. I don't know if you noticed this last week, he turned down the unions. They wanted a waiver. And so, you know, all of those things shortly are going to go away. And that's why the unions are so upset, because they bargained hard for their health benefits. They're seeing them fall by the wayside. And they're as concerned and really speaking up as much as anybody right now. So that's kind of where we're at.
So we will have to, the Congress will have to pass another bill to make this bill actually be something that everybody has to go by. I mean, I don't understand why there has to be another bill.
Everybody is going to have to go by the current bill. And that's what I say, that all of that is rapidly coming, you know, where at some point in the near future, everyone is going to be wrapped up into the bill. That's why the unions are so upset, you know, about the bill.
Right.
They had been excluded for a while. They're all going to be caught up in this, though, and it's going to pertain to everyone.
Yeah, and while you were talking about losing your doctor and losing your community hospitals,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here shaking my head yes, because from what I understand, Obamacare will tell you what doctor you can use. And the doctor that they give you, like I'm in North Central Arkansas, what if my doctor is down on the other side of Little Rock? Two and a half hours away, or they tell me, no, the hospital that you can use is not Mountain View. You have to use the one in Fayetteville. I mean, that all sounds far-fetched, but I'm now a small business owner, but I have worked for large corporations, and I've worked in the HR department and with insurance, and what I'm thinking, where I'm coming from with that is, you know, if you have, like, for instance, using an HMO versus a PPO, you know, an HMO, and you have to only, you have a list of doctors that you can use. And if you don't have a doctor in Mountain View that's on that list, then you have to go to hopefully the closest one on that list for your doctor. And that's kind of the way I'm viewing it, as insurance that you don't get to pick who your physician is anymore.
Right. Well, I think, and I really do appreciate you bringing all these things up, I think it's difficult. Nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen. I know right now, and this is not an exaggeration, we're at 20,000 pages of regulation already, and the regulations are way behind schedule in coming out. The regulations stand over 7 feet tall. Senator Rockefeller said that the bill was beyond comprehension. And then also you had Senator Reid, I don't know if you noticed a couple weeks ago, he said that this was the place marker for a single-payer system. So, I think your concerns are valid. We're going to have to work through this thing. But again, I do appreciate you calling and really raising a lot of good points. Thank you very much.
I thank you for allowing us to have this time.
No, thank you. I'll see you in Mountain View. Let's go to our next caller, and if you'd like to get in line and ask a question, just punch 0. We're trying to get through as many of these as we can. Really had a very interesting discussion tonight about a number of different things, and that's what it's all about. So are you there?
Yes, sir. This is Ed. I was calling.
Go ahead, Ed.
The problem I am really irritated about is Obama granting Congress an exemption of Obamacare. This is the problem with this country right now, is we have got a bunch of legislators from all the states that legislate the way we are to live, but they don't. Congress, the Senate, the President does not live by the same laws that they require us to live. And until we get this turned around, we're in real problems.
No, I understand, and I was, one of the guys that voted for and worked hard to make sure that Congress would have to abide by the same standard as the rest of the country. That makes all the sense in the world, and that was put in there. I think eventually we're going to have a vote on that. One of the previous callers, talked about the president doing things and not having the legal authority. I think the law is really pretty clear on that. One problem, though, is that the way it was written is such that essentially what's happened is that as soon as the new program goes into effect, then, and this just pertains to Congress and their staff, the staff won't have any insurance at all. They'll have to, fend for themselves. They can go to the exchange. They can go to private insurance or whatever. But essentially what the law does is take away all of their insurance. And so that's a little different than what was drawn up to try and make it such that, if you work for a regular company, you're really not doing that. So it's a mess, but I agree with you totally. Congress needs to abide by the law as it was written.
Well, I believe it'd be a tremendous idea that you had about somebody presenting a bill, pushing this to a vote to deny Congress the exemption.
Yes, sir. I think what's going to happen is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
What we need to be able, as citizens, we need to be able to see who is willing to stand up for what's right and who is not, so that we can get the ones that are not out of office permanently.
Right. Senator Vitter from Louisiana has an amendment, you know, that he's trying to get on the last bill that was pending. He's actually trying to get it on this current bill. I think what probably is going to happen is that the Senate doesn't have the votes to defund Obamacare. So the Senate will go ahead and strip that out. They'll have the votes to pass the bill, send it back to the House. I think that there's a good chance that the House will send it back with the continuing resolution funding figures and actually put on the rider about making it such, you know, with the insurance provision that you're talking about.
Well,
so we'll have to wait and see if that happens. But
I believe that we have so many liberals in this country right now that we're going to have to bite the bullet on Obamacare and watch how bad our nation falls due to it, and then maybe we'll get some of these liberal people out of office and get the country turned back around. It's the only way I see.
Well, I think this is not the end of the fight. We're going to, you know, do our best with the hand that we're dealt right now, but also chip away. And I think that we are winning the battle in the sense, to a large degree, when you talk to the American public, they're very, very unhappy about this. And as they see their premiums, again, the problem with health care was unaffordability. As they see their premiums rise, they're understanding that instead of lowering their premiums, making it more affordable, that they've gone up dramatically. So
well,
I appreciate you
calling. I understand that. I would like to say about the 74-year-old gentleman that was an immigrant, a legal immigrant. I would like to thank him and say that he's a perfect example of what legal immigration is all about. And we have to put a stop to the illegal immigration.
Well, I
think
that's right.
People like him have had to step back in line to allow illegal immigrants to force their way in. And that's wrong.
No, I agree with you totally. And he is a great example of that, you know, working through the system. And then the other thing is taking the opportunity that we have in America and working hard and being successful, not only himself, but his family.
Yes,
and now is like the rest of us, you know, worried about our kids and our grandkids, having the same opportunities that we've been so blessed with. So thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your comments.
Senator, thank you for the opportunity. And
well, thank you, sir.
Forward to your next one.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
thank you.
It. Thank you. Let's go to our next caller. Again, lots of good comments, lots of very thoughtful comments. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Senator Bozeman, I got a question. It's concerning the Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently become disabled through Social Security, and eventually I'll get Medicare. But my concern is I also have private insurance. And when I go to our local community hospital, I get turned away in a sense that all the regulations that are involved with the Obamacare state that, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, they're all funded by government. And they're turning private insurance away from getting treatment. I have medical conditions that can be life-threatening. And they're sitting there going, well, you got to pay this and this just to get treated.
Right.
Why does he have to have so many regulations in all of this, you know, just to pay his form of medical?
Well, I think what's happening, really a couple things, is, you know, you're starting, and this really hasn't kicked in, you know, to a great extent, except for the fact that, you know, it has, as it's coming about, raising premiums and causing insurers and things to readjust based on, you know, on what's happening. And as a result, it sounds like your insurance coverage just doesn't cover what it used to cover.
Well, see, I got military insurance from my husband. It's TRICARE.
Okay, good.
And
well,
it
do
covers,
this.
You
do
know,
this
everything.
For me. Do this for me, and we'd love to help you. I'm going to give you a number.
I got your website on my
okay.
phone.
call the Little Rock office and ask for Becca and explain to her what's going on. And then we would be glad to make an inquiry as to what the problem is. Your military insurance, TRICARE, is good insurance. One of the problems that we're seeing with TRICARE is it's based on Medicare, only the fees that the doctors get are a little bit less. And so, you know, doctors are giving up Medicare because it doesn't pay enough. TRICARE pays the doctor even a little bit less. We've had success with doctors understanding, you know, that we're at war and they're doing the best they can to continue to participate, but that is becoming a little bit of a problem. But it is good insurance, and so call Becca. Let me give you the number.
I got it.
Okay.
It's, like I said, it's on my. I got it on my iPod.
Call the Little Rock office, ask for her, and we'll be glad to do all we can.
I also talked to, you know, you mentioned talk to your health care provider.
Uh-huh.
Well, I did talk to him because he's also over the emergency room
right.
at our local community hospital. And he was explaining, you know, all the regulations that are coming down. He says he don't really understand them.
Right.
And, you know, and it's
well, with 20,000 pages, who does? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not all frustrating for the private sector person, but also, you know, with the insurance, but also the doctors who have to deal with
sure.
all of this, you know,
right.
and being people like, you know, you, me, who's had military families, you know,
right.
I'm also ex-military and disabled military,
uh-huh.
you know, and my husband served in Desert Storm and, you know, recently
uh-huh.
Afghanistan and, well, Iraq. He went to Iraq.
Sure.
You know, it's getting frustrating because we can't make it.
Right.
On, you know, what we have, and if our premiums go up, that takes more out of our pocket, and if
right.
taxes go up, there's even more out of our pocket.
Right. No, it does make it very difficult, you know, when you're on the edge and these things creep up. And the other thing is, you know, we talk about, you know, the government puts out the statistics where there's not much inflation, but I'll tell you know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy stuff, it seems like there's lots. Things are a lot more expensive than they used to be. But call our Little Rock office, ask for Becca. We'll be glad to see if we can make some inquiries and get you fixed up. I appreciate your service in the military, and be sure and tell your husband the same thing. We appreciate his service very, very much.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Okay, let's go to our next one. We're going to take one or two more callers, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But don't get off the line. If you'll stay on the line after I wrap it up, if you'll stay there for the callers that are still on, you'll have a voicemail, and you can leave your questions or your comments on there, and then we'll get back to you. Okay? And so we'll, like I say, we'll work through all of those and get back to you and work through any problems that you're having or listen to the comments that you've got. So here we go. Let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I have three different questions. I will ask the questions and you could answer them. Okay. I live in Sharp County, Arkansas, and we lost our county hospital in Cherokee Village around 2000, and we don't have a county hospital at all in Sharp County. The nearest hospital is either in Jonesboro, Mountain Home, or in Batesville. With this Obamacare, how will that affect the grant money that the people is trying to get to build a hospital?
The I don't know.
Go ahead, sir.
To be honest, I don't know. We'll be glad to see if we can work that out. I know that we've been working with that area in the sense of concerned about military, ex-military, not having access to the VA and so looking at outpatient clinic type thing, for that, seeing if we can get that done. But I understand. I'm very, very familiar with the area, and it's difficult. One of the things I would fear, I mean, hopefully it won't affect, the grant money and the going forward. I hope that it doesn't affect, one of the nearer hospitals so that you don't have that option anymore. See what I'm saying? Where some other community that you're going to now loses their hospital. So, but we will be glad to take a look and see what the see what the deal is and see how that affects. A lot of this, and I hate to put things off, but a lot of this, with the regulations coming out and things being so behind, right now, they're just now getting the exchanges done and the sign-up date is, in fact, they're really not done, but they're just now announcing, fees and things like that, and the sign-up date is just in a few days. So, but we'll be glad to take a look and see what we can do in that regard.
Okay, I have one other question. This is a national question. Okay, September 30th is a date where everybody going to vote on the health care program and the budget, either yay or nay. And if they decide to defund the budget, that will put us into a serious problem. But in October the 15th, I believe, is a debt ceiling, and the day with we reach our debt ceiling. What will happen if the United States default on their loans? For example, Greece, Ireland, and Spain was a member of the European Commerce. They had the other countries that was members of that group of country bail them out of their problems. Who's going to bail out the United States if we go default? And that's my question.
Right. You mentioned really two events, and this is real important. The continuing resolution, which comes up before October 1st. October 1st is when the new government cycle runs. We don't run on a calendar year. We run from October 1st till the end of September. And so if we don't establish the budget by then, by October 1st, then none of the agencies, none of government, including the military, really are authorized to spend money unless it's just really very special circumstances that have to do with significant security issues. So as a result, the government would stop, it would shut down, and I have a lot of concern about that. What we need to be working on is getting the figures that we need to make sure that we're funding the government at the rate that we're continuing to chip away and work on our deficit, work on the tremendous debt that we've got, and make sure that the figure that we come up with is within the Budget Act and continues to cut our deficit each year. But we've got to get that worked out. If the government shuts down, my concern is that a lot of people, a lot of regular folks, just hardworking Arkansans, won't be able to, when they go to work, there won't be any work because they're dependent on a government inspector, they're depending on this or that, besides all of the government employees all over the country. Social Security checks probably would be late. The military wouldn't get paid. We don't need to do that. The other problem is with the markets, they probably would respond very unfavorably to that. So you'd see a drop in the stock market. What does that do to people there, at Cherokee Village that, have money in savings, they have money in their pension plans that are in the market, that would be, not be a good situation. So we've got to get that fixed. Now, in the second thing that comes up, as you mentioned, that has to do with funding the government. The second thing that comes up is the debt ceiling. We're at $16.7 trillion right now. We have to have authority to raise that higher. And there's going to be a lot of work, you know, to get that accomplished. And what I'd like to see is in return for raising the debt ceiling, that we get some spending cuts, we get some, some policy changes and things that make it such that we don't continue these excessive deficits each year, and that we're continue to grow the national debt at the rate that we are. I think at the end of the day that people will come together on that, because as you mentioned, if we don't, there's dire consequences. You know, if you quit paying your bills, then it will have an effect on the markets. They will fall. It'll have an effect on our credit rating. That will not be good. And so the list goes on and on. So, this is something that is very, very important to the country, and certainly is something that I'm very preoccupied with and doing my best to work it out where we have a good result. And I think the good result is funding the government. At some point we do need to raise the debt ceiling, but making sure that in return for raising it, that we get some spending cuts and we make it such that we're making a dent on the debt and the deficit. Does that sound okay?
Yes, sir. Oh, one other question. Your phone number, is it in Jonesboro or in Little Rock?
No, we have an office in both Jonesboro and in Little Rock. Yes, sir.
Okay, and it's in the phone book?
Yes, sir. I can give it to you right here.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. You got a pen?
Yes, sir.
It is 870-268-
268-6925.
Yes, sir. You give them a call and tell them I said to be extra special nice to you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Have a
thank
pleasant
you for,
night.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Okay, we're going to do one more call, and then don't get off the line. You'll hear a voice that will tell you what to do, but you'll be able to leave me a voicemail. And questions, comments, whatever, if you're having problems, leave that, and then we'll get in touch with you and see if we can get those things worked out. So let's go to our last caller. I appreciate everybody that's been on tonight. Like I said, we've really had a good session. Okay, are you there?
Yes. I'm Debbie, and I'm from Viola, which is in Fulton County.
Yes, ma'am, for sure.
And I know we've talked a lot about Obamacare, and there's been so many good things. I mean, you could take what Deborah said and just say ditto for me. But I'd kind of like to ask about how you stand on our Second Amendment rights.
Well, I'm very much in favor of protecting the Second Amendment. I think there's a lot of evidence in our country and in others that if you make it such where it's, more difficult for law-abiding people to own a gun, that it simply doesn't solve our problems. The gun's just a tool. If you want to go to the root cause, guns don't kill people. People do. If you want to go to the root cause, then you have to look at things like mental health. You have to look at gang violence, things like that. And we saw this, in this last shooting. The shooter was definitely somebody that was very, very troubled. It was just throwing out all kinds of warning signs that he was a dangerous individual, and we simply have to do a much, much better job of identifying that, and yet we don't, to the point that here's a guy that, had a national security clearance and everything else, much less, a background check for a gun. So it's a real failing. We've got to work extremely hard to in those areas. But as far as additional gun laws, I'm simply one that really doesn't feel like that's going to make any difference.
I'm so glad to hear that, because, that last shooting was in a gun-free zone, And I mean, they take our guns away and then we're all set for that.
No, that's right. And again, it really shows how vulnerable we all are, in the sense that that was probably thought to be one of the most secure places in the country. And yet, this guy gets in with a shotgun, which, would not be, under any of the gun laws, anything that anybody would take away, and does a tremendous amount of violence. And so we really do have to look at the cause of this, and we need to get really aggressive. One of the problems is, once you start seeing a person, with these tendencies, it's difficult. There's really not a lot of places to put them. And also, it's difficult to share information. We need to protect, sharing information, medical records and things. But we need it to be such that we have things in play that can protect society. And right now, with this shooter and then with the Newtown individual, certainly those two were very troubled individuals that were crying out for help, in a way. And yet, nobody really paid a lot of attention.
Well, they may have not had the right insurance when they tried to get help.
Well, it's a very difficult problem. It's a very difficult problem, and it's something. One of the things I'm real concerned about is as we're talking about mental health, we have a lot of suicide going on right now, a lot in the general population. We have a lot amongst our military and veterans, and really trying to figure out what's causing that. I think one of the problems that we get into with that is that the easiest thing to do is to medicate people, and sometimes when you over-medicate them, it can go the other way and actually make their problems worse. So that's an area myself, Johnny Isaacson on the Veterans Affairs Committee, really are starting to look into. A lot of work's being done, but really seeing if we can somehow coordinate and do a better job with our veterans and the general population too, and really see if we can figure out what's causing a lot of these troubles.
Now, I'm glad to hear that. My husband, is a veteran, and
I
certainly appreciate, the support that you're giving these guys.
Yeah. Well, it's a family affair. Like I say, my dad did 20 years, and they don't serve alone. We appreciate your family service very much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate
yes,
you very much, too.
Thank
Bye.
You. Well, thank all of you all for being with us tonight. We just had a wide variety of questions and comments, and that's really what we try and accomplish. I appreciate you, for those of you that stayed part of the time, those of you that stayed all of the time, it was certainly very helpful to me. I hope it was helpful to you. And stay on the line now, and like I say, you'll get a prompt to leave a message. Be sure and do that. And then I will see you in Arkansas sometime, I hope soon. So thank you very much.